The Divorce Prescription. Chapter 101. I sold everything I had to send her to school, gave up everything to send her to the big city. And now? She refuses to acknowledge me. Says I embarrass her and wants me to go back to the countryside, Larry cried, his performance so convincing that even he almost believed it. His acting deserved a perfect score. The reporters snapped photos frantically. An adoptive daughter abandoning her rural adoptive father was headline, worthy material. They were all eager to get an exclusive scoop. The journalists felt deeply sympathetic toward Larry and didn't hold back their criticism of Celine. How could Celine be so heartless? I never believed anyone could be inherently evil until Celine proved me wrong. Benjamin handed Larry a tissue, his voice filled with righteous anger. Today's press conference is to expose Celine for who she truly is. Too many people still don't know what kind of person she is. She can't just abandon her adoptive father. She must take responsibility. Larry wiped his face with the tissue, a sly smile flashing briefly across his lips. No matter how much protection Adam offered, Celine wouldn't escape him. Lucy exchanged a quick glance with Carly. Both of them were pleased with how things were unfolding. Hayden hadn't bothered to show up. To him, this press conference was enough to deal with Celine. He had a business dinner with a few clients at a luxury hotel and was simply waiting for good news from Lucy. Lucy, meanwhile, wore a pained expression and spoke apologetically, "Ladies and gentlemen, I owe you all an apology. Celine is my daughter. It's my failure as a mother that I didn't raise her properly, leading to such a negative effect. I'm not a good mother." Carly immediately took her hand. "Mom, it's not your fault." The reporters chimed in. "Mrs. Tate, you're a wonderful mother. Just look at how well you raised Carly. Mrs. Tate, Celine is just rotten to the core. Some people can't be taught no matter how hard you try." Lucy's lips curved slightly. Using Celine as a stepping stone, she had successfully established herself as a good mother. It was then that Benjamin spoke again. "The press conference has started, but Celine hasn't shown up. I bet she's too afraid to face us. Guilty conscience, anyone?" His words had barely settled when a clear, confident voice rang out. "Benjamin, are you talking about me?" Everyone turned to see a slender, graceful figure standing at the door. Celine had arrived, and she came alone. She walked forward with steady steps, the crowd of reporters instinctively parting to make way. She stopped in front of Benjamin. "You've got some nerve showing up here," Benjamin snapped. Celine raised an eyebrow, her expression playful but sharp. "Benjamin, make up your mind. Do you want me here or not? Pick one, will you? How dare you?" Benjamin's face flushed with anger. The so-called little tyrant of Mercedes had lost to Celine yet again. Lucy smirked discreetly. It was even better that Celine had shown up. She immediately signaled Larry with a look. Larry reached out to grab Celine's hand. "Celine." Celine's eyes turned icy as she glared at Larry. "Don't touch me with your filthy hands. You make me sick." Larry froze. Lucy didn't miss a beat, quickly stirring up the crowd. "Celine, how can you still treat your adoptive father like this? Haven't you done enough?" Carly chimed in, "Celine, apologize to your adoptive father right now and take him home with you." Benjamin added, "Celine, you're absolutely despicable." The reporters swarmed closer. "This is all happening right in front of us. Celine, your true personality is hideous. We'll make sure the world knows who you truly are." As Adam and Nathan entered the venue, this chaotic scene was the first thing they saw. Celine was standing alone, surrounded, and under siege. Chapter 102. The press conference spiraled into chaos, with accusations flying at Celine from every direction. Adam's gaze was ice cold, a flicker of exasperation crossing his otherwise impassive face. Did Celine not realize this was like walking into the lion's den? How reckless could she be to come here alone? What the hell? Nathan muttered under his breath. He stepped forward, ready to shield Celine from the growing mob. However, someone had already beat him to it. Adam moved swiftly, his long strides cutting through the crowd. Nathan was speechless. What kind of wingman was he? What a way to read the room. However, the chaotic room fell eerily silent. Celine, surrounded by hostile faces, lifted her head. Her clear, unwavering gaze swept over the crowd. Though she didn't raise her voice, the quiet authority in her gaze commanded attention. The sheer strength in her demeanor made everyone hold their breath. Adam froze mid-step. He had never seen this side of her before. The reporters now stood dumbstruck. Something about Celine's presence was intimidating. After letting her gaze linger on each face, Celine's eyes locked onto Larry. "Did you really think I came here alone?" Larry flinched. "What are you talking about?" Suddenly, Robin's voice rang out. "There he is. That's Larry." All heads turned to see a team of uniformed police officers entering the room. The tension in the air became palpable as they marched directly toward Larry, presenting an arrest warrant. "Larry Slick, you're under arrest for extortion, kidnapping, and attempted rape," the officer declared. The click of handcuffs echoed like a thunderclap. The press conference exploded into chaos. Everything escalated so quickly, and nobody had any idea what was going on. The once pitted man was now revealed as a dangerous criminal. Benjamin was dumbfounded. "Officers, there has to be some mistake. He's a simple villager, an honest man. Extortion. Kidnapping. Attempted rape. Who did he even try to assault?" "He tried to rape me." Those words struck like a hammer, reverberating in everyone's ears. Gasps rippled through the crowd as they turned their stunned faces toward Celine. However, no one was more shaken than Larry, Lucy, and Carly. At that moment, Robin ran to Celine's side. As her best friend, she refused to let Celine face this alone. Celine raised a photograph for everyone to see. It was the very image Larry had used to blackmail her. Facing the cameras and reporters, her voice carried unwavering strength. "Yes, Larry is my adoptive father, but he's also a pedophile. 10 years ago, he was convicted of abusing and molesting children and sentenced to 10 years in prison." The room went still. Every pair of eyes locked onto the photograph in her hand. Celine's voice didn't falter as she continued. "He was released recently and came straight for me. First, he tried to blackmail me for $100 million using this photo. Then, he knocked me unconscious in a club, kidnapped me, and dragged me to a mountain cave where he attempted to rape me." She pulled out a small recording device. Her sharp gaze pinned Larry in place. "I've been wearing this hidden camera. It has recorded every single crime you committed." Larry's face went pale in disbelief. He didn't expect Celine to carry a recording device all along. How could she? Celine stepped forward, closing the distance between them. She leaned in slightly to talk to Larry, but her eyes were locked on Lucy. "I was the first to know you were released. You thought you had me trapped, didn't you? But the truth is, I've been waiting for you. 10 years behind bars wasn't enough for what you've done. This time, I'll make sure you never see the light of day again." Chapter 103. Larry's eyes widened as the realization dawned on him. From the moment he was released from prison, Celine had been aware. She had been waiting for him. Everyone thought she would never dare reveal the dark shadows of her childhood. A woman always put the utmost importance on her reputation, after all. She hadn't told Mary, nor had she told Adam. When he demanded money, she gave it to him. When he knocked her unconscious and kidnapped her, she seemed helpless, like a prey ensnared by its predator. However, that was all an illusion. She had been pretending and was in control the whole time. The small recording device she wore told the true story. Whether it was his demand for 100 million or his attempt to rape her in the cave, every step of his crimes had played into her hands. She had used her apparent obedience to feed his greed and used her endurance to lead him deeper into the pit of his own making. She had baited him with herself. Now, 10 years later, she had sent him back into the abyss. With the multitude of charges against him, his fate was sealed. It was either a death sentence or life imprisonment. Everything had gone according to her plan. What Larry had figured out, Lucy also realized. She remembered the moment when Hansel brought Larry into the Tate family. Celine had stood outside, silently watching. Lucy stared at Celine in shock. This wasn't the same little girl who had chased her mom's car, sobbing as she was abandoned. This wasn't the helpless child who had called her mom for help after being violated. This wasn't the girl wandering aimlessly through the woods without a home. Years had passed, and Celine had grown. She stood tall now, confident and resolute. Her clear eyes radiated unwavering determination. Celine turned to face the cameras again. Her voice was steady, resonant, and full of strength. "I've never felt ashamed of my life. I don't believe in punishing myself for the crimes of others. If you've experienced what I have, if you've been hurt the same way, remember, don't cower, and don't be afraid. I know it's hard, but you must stand up for yourself. No one else can save you. You have to save yourself." She had saved herself. Robin, standing nearby, was overcome with emotion. Tears welled in her eyes as she clapped her hands. The reporters looked down with guilt. They began murmuring apologies. "Miss Celine, we're sorry. We misunderstood you earlier and raised our voices at you. Celine, I have 2 daughters. I can't imagine the courage it took for you to do this. You're amazing." Thumbs went up all around. Adam watched silently from a distance, his gaze fixed on Celine. He had doubted her ability to handle everything on her own. However, she used herself as bait, and he finally saw her trap unfold. Her calculated reversal of the entire situation made him realize how wrong he had been. She had said she would handle it herself, and she had. He had always dismissed her and underestimated her, yet time and again, she defied his expectations. He wasn't sure what kind of women he preferred before. However, beauty paired with intelligence and an unyielding spirit was mesmerizing. Celine, standing here in this moment, was radiant. Nathan stood nearby, stunned by everything he had just witnessed. "Adam, you knew, didn't you?" Adam didn't answer. His silence was all the confirmation Nathan needed. Nathan remained silent. He could have had his moment as the knight in shining armor. He couldn't help but feel their brotherhood had changed. Meanwhile, Lucy and Carly stood frozen, their faces ashen. They had never imagined things would take such a drastic turn. They were the ones who had been utterly defeated in this press conference. Lucy quickly said, "Celine, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you earlier. Please, let me explain. I didn't know anything about this." Celine's gaze was stone cold. "Did you really not know anything?" Before Lucy could respond, the police officers stepped forward. "Lucy Garcia, during Larry's escape, you harbored and sheltered a fugitive. We have reasonable suspicion that you colluded with him. Please come with us for further investigation." The officers didn't wait for a response and grabbed Lucy by the arms. Chapter 104. Lucy's mind buzzed, her thoughts freezing for a moment. She suddenly recalled that when Larry escaped, she had indeed taken him in. Shocked, she turned to Celine. "Was it you?" It was Celine who orchestrated Larry's release through Leo. She had anticipated that Larry would run straight to the Tate family. Celine met Lucy's gaze with an innocent expression and a faint smile curling her lips. I don't understand what you're accusing me of, Mom. You don't owe me an explanation. Save it for the authorities. How dare you? Lucy's voice cracked. From the distance, Lardy, how retrained by the police, let out a desperate cry. I don't want to go to jail. Mrs. Tate, save me. Please, save me. The crowd's eyes shifted sharply to Lucy. The whispers started, spreading like wildfire. Her reputation as a good mother was completely ruined. Lucy's expression changed as she panicked. Shut up. Make him stop. The reporters started discussing among themselves. Didn't that man go to prison 10 years ago for molesting a child? Are we supposed to believe she didn't know? And she still associate herself with someone who harmed her own daughter? What kind of mother does that? Didn't you hear? Mrs. Tate's the ultimate pick, me. First for Hayden, now for Carly. The phrase ultimate pick, me hit Lucy like a slap to the face. She didn't like that nickname and was flushed with anger. No, it's not like that. That's not true. She wanted to defend herself, but the two officers standing on either side of her gripped her arms firmly and escorted her away. Carly stayed frozen in place. She panicked, and her face went blank. How could it have come to this? What was she supposed to do now? This press conference had gone horribly wrong. They had fallen into a trap. Mom. Carly opened her mouth again to call out, but the judgmental eyes and murmurs around her made her snap it shut. No one was more confused than Benjamin, whose mind was spinning, trying to piece together what had just unfolded. That was when he noticed a pair of clear, beautiful eyes looking straight at him. It was Celine. A pang of guilt struck Benjamin. He hadn't known what she had been through, the horrors she had faced. Celine walked toward him. Benjamin, are you thirsty? What? Benjamin was baffled by the abrupt question. Celine smiled sweetly. If you're thirsty, have some nut milk. It's good for your brain. With that, she turned and walked away. Robin couldn't hold back a laugh as she hurried to follow Celine. Benjamin stood there in silence. Did she just ask him to have some nut milk for his brain? Was she implying that he was stupid? Whatever guilt he had felt moments ago vanished in an instant. His face darkened as he shouted, "Celine, come back and explain yourself." It was then that Carly approached Benjamin, her eyes glistening with unshed tears. She couldn't afford to lose him. Benjamin, I don't know how things turned out like this. I had no idea Larry was such a monster. Benjamin's expression turned sour at the mention of Larry. Don't bring up that bastard. He's done for. He'll rot in prison. And Carly, don't blame yourself. You're kind and beautiful. You were deceived like the rest of us. Chapter 105. Benjamin stood by her side, which eased Carly's nerves a little. After the press conference ended, Adam returned to his luxury Rolls Royce. In his deep, magnetic voice, he instructed Leo in the front seat, "Inform the media that I don't want any news about Celine leaking out." Lay replied with a hushed tone, "Don't worry, Mr. Alvarez." Several female reporters at the scene already took the initiative to delete all photos and videos of Mrs. Alvarez. They won't be reporting anything about her. Adam's lips curled into a faint smirk. She does have a way of winning people over. Leo, with genuine admiration, added, "Mrs. Alvarez is truly courageous." Adam raised an eyebrow. She was indeed very brave. He pulled out his phone and dialed a number. "Hello, James." His uncle, James Lambert, was the renowned president of Vorine University and a medical professor respected wherever he went. "Adam, this is rare. What's on your mind?" "James, I need a favor," Adam said. "Interesting. If it's enough to make you call personally, I'm all ears, James replied. I want to enroll a young woman at your university, Adam said.
A young woman?
Who? James was curious. Her name is Celine. Please arrange for her to join the medical program, Adam said calmly.
Celine?
Isn't she your stand-in bride? All right, have her report to Vorine University tomorrow.
I'd like to meet this so-called stand-in bride myself, James said.
Adam ended the call, and Leo couldn't hide his surprise. Mr. Alvarez, you're sending Mrs. Alvarez to Vorine University. Looking out the window, Adam replied, Celine is clever, but she'd never had a proper chance to study. She stopped going to school when she was 16. I know now that it wasn't entirely her fault. With an adoptive father like hers, education probably wasn't an option. By sending her to Vorine University, I hope she can build a better future for herself, since she seems to have some interest in medicine, that's where she'll go.
Leo's eyes lit up.
Mr. Alvarez, that's brilliant foresight. I don't expect her to shine on some grand stage like Carly, basking in the spotlight. I just want her to improve herself a little. Finding a stable career is far better.
Then.
Better than sitting still, thinking about which man to later on to next. Leo dimed in cheerfully, Mrs. Alvarez will undoubtedly work hard, she won't disappoint you. Adam's gaze remained on the passing scenery. He hoped so. He just hoped she wouldn't cause any trouble. In a lavish private room of a 5-star hotel, Hayden was enjoying dinner with David, Robert, and Harry. Ever since the debacle at Sonia's both birthday banquet, he had been working hard to rebuild his reputation and secure this dinner with the three influential businessmen. Raising his glass, Hayden said with a grin, Mr. Weston, Mr. Lanning, Mr. Levine, I look forward to your guidance in future business endeavors. The three businessmen clinked their glasses with him.
You're too modest, Mr. Tate. Everyone knows your beloved daughter is romantically involved with Mr. Alvarez. It's only a matter of time before you become his father-in-law.
These men were only here because of Hayden's connection to Adam. Over the years, Adam had elevated the Tate family to great heights. Upon hearing this, Hayden laughed heartily. He knew the press conference was ongoing, and he could soon become Adam's father-in-law. All that was left now was a call from Lucy.
Soon Phil treat you all to a drink when the time comes, he said.
The men down there drinks. Just then, the TV in the private room caught their attention. A news anchor appeared on screen, holding a microphone. Today, authorities had apprehended a man charged with child molestation and attempted rape. Alongside him, a suspected accomplice was also arrested. The screen cut to footage of Larry, his head covered with a black hood, being escorted into a police vehicle. Moments later, Lucy appeared, handcuffed and flanked by officers. The three businessmen froze. While they didn't recognize Taddy, Lucy's face was unmistakable.
Mr. Tate, isn't that Mrs. Tate?
Puzzled, Hayden's hand, which was pouring his drink hallway, stopped abruptly. He turned toward the TV. Chapter 106. He saw Lucy on the TV, and the smile vanished from Hayden's face while he froze. With a microphone in hand, the reporter said, who says being a pick, me isn't an economy. Hats off to this suspect, as she's the ultimate pick, me. She's doing it with such flair, such passion. Hayden remained silent. The three businessmen didn't bother hiding their distaste. They pushed back their chairs and got up. Hayden hurriedly tried to salvage the situation.
Gentlemen, please wait.
The trio glanced at him, their lips curled into a sardonic smile.
Mr. Tate, you're really something.
We could never hope to match your charm. With that parting shot, they walked out. Today, the ultimate pick, me, Lucy, had her moment of infamy. Her antics dragged Hayden into the spotlight as a subject of ridicule among the businessmen.
Hayden's face darkened as he threw the glass on the floor with all his might. Just then, his phone rang. It was Carly.
"Dad, something terrible happened. The press conference was a disaster.
Mom's been arrested. You need to get a lawyer and get her out now," Carly cried out. Outside the police station, the night dragged on as Hayden, accompanied by a lawyer, finally managed to get Lucy released. Lucy's face was pale. This was the first time in her life she had set foot inside a jail.
"Honey, I can explain."
The sharp sound of Hayden's slap echoed in the room. His hand left a vivid red imprint across Lucy's face, her head snapping to the side from the force of the blow. Hayden's face darkened.
"You've made me a laughingstock. How the hell am I supposed to face anyone in the business world now?
Lucy, you've ruined me." Lucy clutched her stinging cheek, but she dared not speak. Her humiliation turned to seething anger toward Celine. This was all her fault. Carly stood silently to the side, her expression indifferent as she watched Lucy get slapped. She made no move to intervene. In her eyes, Lucy was just a stepmother, not her real mother.
"Dad, what do we do now?"
Hayden turned to Carly and said, "Carly, I've noticed Mr. Alvarez's attitude toward Celine has changed. He's the key to everything. You need to make sure he stays firmly in your corner." Carly let out a cold laugh. Lifting her chin proudly, she declared, "Dad, do you think Celine actually believes Adam likes her? She's delusional. I'll show her her place soon enough." Even now, Carly didn't see Celine as a threat. Sure, Celine had won a few rounds lately. However, when it came to Adam, Celine would never win. She could try if she didn't believe it. Celine had just returned to Alvarez's residence when her phone buzzed. It was a call from Carly.
"Celine, are you free?
Let's grab some coffee," Carly said. Chapter 107. She. Immediately Carly raised an eye and smirked.
"What's wrong, Celine? Are you afraid? You've been riding high on your recent wins and sexting in the art you.
Be you rared of me." Katina curved Bay Login 1EL. "All right, I'll see you soon." After hanging up, Celine got ready to leave. Hey phone buzzed with a trep notification from James, who had sent her a complex surgical proposal.
"Doctor, this was a tricky surgery I encountered last. If you have few, please guide me through it."
FERS was the pros of university and also one of her students. Coincidentally, Tracy had graduated from Urine University and was one of James Mabe's promising students. Ten Fart, Trey's sole R obstant, had been heavily supported by James' recommendation. In a way, they were all part of the same mentor, student lineage.
Colini English, Bear.
Man try, Celine arrived at the gate, she spotted Carly immediately.
Unlike someone casually waiting, Carly stood by the staircase as if deliberately wake-gating Bay Ifival.
Celine ascended the stairs, her voice calm and direct.
"Carly, I don't think our relationship has ever been close enough for casual coffee.
Say, what did you want to say?"
Carly, in her crystal heels and a bold red slip dress, looked radiant and dazzling. "Celine, congratulations. You really pulled off a win at the press conference."
"Thank," Celine replied flatly.
"But so what?
Even if you win, can you truly ever have Adam?"
Celine met Bay gaze with and saying much, "So."
Essay at that movement, Carly's peripheral vision caught sight of the gate doors swinging open. A tall, handsome figure walked in, exuding a bearing of power and
huication.
Cephaly dry peldoser to the edge of the staircase, lowering her voice as she grinned.
"Celine, I'm just worried that you're flying too close to the sun. It's time I bring you comingbok.com to reality."
Betone Celine Confid Wart, Cephaly grabbed her sleeve and suddenly screamed in panic.
"No. No."
With that, she tunked grammatically down the staircase, rolling all the way to the bottom.
Celine's last stirs fluttered slightly as she looked on. She wasn't entirely sure what game Carly was playing this time, but it was clear the woman wasn't holding back. "A corp," Cartwoer subdurly called out, "Carly." Celine turned her head and saw Ham. He was here. In that instant, Celine understood what Carly was trying to do. Bay murdered just in time to see Carly falling down the stairs. He immediately rushed forward. "Carly! Carly!" Celine G-sided the stairs and said with a neutral tone, "Adam, she's pulling the same stunt again. Don't tell me you can't see that she threw herself down on." Carly lay on the ground, her face pale and drenched in cold sweat. "Adam, my leg. It hurts so much. Ma'am, tell something worth and sticky on his hand." He looked down and realized it was blood. Carly's leg was injured, and blood was streaming from the wound. And sparing Celine a glance, B scooped Carly up in his arms and headed straight to the hospital. Celine called after Tam, "Ma'am, don't be fooled by her." Camp and mad, step and turned his head slightly. His bi gaze swept over her. "Celine, how can you be so heartless? Carly is a dancer, her legs are her livelihood. And now she's hard." With that, as carried Carly out, leaving Celine standing frozen in place. He had called Brianless. Chapter 108. It wasn't as if she had pushed Carly down the stairs. Carly had done it to herself. Still, Adam's reaction had been visceral, seeing her injured leg, especially knowing she was the lead ballerina. He was heartbroken, deeply so. Celine let out a bitter, self-deprecating chuckle. Inside the VIP suite of the hospital, Carly's leg had already been treated by the doctors. Adam's expression tightened as he asked the doctor, "Is her leg injured badly? Will this affect her ability to dance in the future?" The doctor reassured him. "Mr. Alvarez, no need to worry. We conducted a thorough scan. Fortunately, it's only a light wound. There was no damage to the muscles or bones. As long as she rests properly, she'll be able to return to dancing without issue." With that, the doctor left. Adam felt something touching his palm. Carly had reached out her slender hand, slipping it into Adam's palm. Her delicate fingers curled around his. Adam lowered his gaze to her pale face, which was tilted up toward him. "I'm fine, Adam. Don't worry about me." He had been so visibly worried about her. It was exactly as she had hoped, but her heart was still warm and satisfied. "Why did you throw yourself down the stairs?" Adam suddenly asked. Carly froze, but she quickly recovered. She knew she couldn't lie to him. She wasn't planning on fooling him, either. "Adam, I've felt like you've been distant from me lately. I can't feel your love anymore. I don't feel safe." He didn't deny it. Ever since the incident where she tried to use Mary as leverage, something between them had shifted. He had kept his distance, finding her less and less like the girl he had once met in the mountain cave. Furthermore, he was spending his time with Celine. He couldn't explain it, but Celine had a way of pulling him in. The memory of that stormy night at the B&B flashed in his mind. He had allowed himself to give in to a fleeting moment of passion with her. Looking at the frail and teary-eyed Carly now, guilt crept into his chest. He sat down on the edge of the bed, his tone softening. "But throwing yourself down the stairs? What if you had seriously hurt yourself? What about your dancing career?" Carly leaned into his embrace, her fragile frame trembling as she buried herself against him. "Adam, I was just afraid you didn't want me anymore. You said back in the cave that you'd always want me. If you don't, then I don't even care about these legs. I don't even care about my life." The mention of that day in the cave made something inside him ache. How could he stay mad at her? Adam wrapped his arms around Carly tightly. "Don't say such things. I won't leave you." This was his promise.
he would never leave Carly. A promise made by a man like him was as solid as a lifetime vow. Carly's lips curved into a triumphant smile. She had known this would work. His heart was still hers, and he would continue to pamper her like before. Today, the fall had been worth it, completely worth it. Carly pouted slightly, tilting her face up toward him. I understand that because of Mrs. Alvarez Sr.'s health, you can't divorce Celine for now. But starting today, I don't want you two sharing a room anymore. Don't think I don't know you've been staying in the same room with her. I don't want that, understand? It was true. Adam and Celine had shared a room. A bed, even. He had found himself unable to resist her beauty and the quiet allure she exuded. However, that wasn't right. Carly was the one he had chosen, the one he wanted to be with. He had to put an end to this and stop giving Celine the chance to seduce him. Adam held Carly closer, his voice soothing. I've already arranged for Celine to attend Urine University. She'll be staying on campus. From now on, there will be no more shared rooms. Chapter 109. What? Adam was sending Celine to study? At Urine University? He had to be out of his mind. Urine University was a top-tier institution. What qualifications did Celine have to get in? Carly's face twisted with disbelief. Adam, Celine dropped out of school when she was 16. She's just some girl from the countryside. What does she know other than how to seduce men? What gives someone like her the right to attend Urine University? Adam stared at Carly without saying a word. His gaze was firm and unyielding. It was obvious that his decision to send Celine to Urine University was final. There was no room for debate. Carly was smart enough to realize that they had just started to mend their relationship. Picking a fight with Adam now would be unwise. Besides, someone like Celine would only make a fool of herself at Urine University. When that happened, Adam would naturally grow even more disgusted with her. Carly wouldn't have to lift a finger. She could simply sit back and enjoy the show. She curved her lips into a smile. Fine, Adam. I'll listen to you. Adam reached out and playfully pinched her nose. Good. Carly snuggled into his embrace, her heart brimming with sweetness. Celine returned to Alvarez's residence and waited in her bedroom for Adam to come back. It was late into the night when two beams of light swept across the lawn. Adam had finally returned, driving his Rolls-Royce Phantom. He had probably been at the hospital with Carly all this time, which explained why he was back so late. Soon, the bedroom door swung open. Adam stepped inside, bringing with him a wave of crisp, cool night air. Celine looked up at him. How's Carly? Adam, tall and imposing, strode in with his long legs. His well-defined fingers reached up to unbutton his suit jacket. It's just a light wound. Nothing serious. Celine didn't look surprised. Of course, she would never let herself suffer anything worse. Adam's eyes fell on her. Her clear, dark eyes were quietly fixed on him, calm but observant. I know you didn't push her. She fell down the stairs on her own. Celine remained silent, waiting for him to continue. Under the soft light, Adam's handsome face flickered between light and shadow. But I can't let her fall down the stairs again. Celine almost laughed. Carly really was clever, at least when it came to manipulating Adam. This time, she hadn't even tried to frame her. She just needed to roll down the stairs in front of him to achieve her goal. There it was. The power of being loved without limits. Celine looked at him. You have something you want to tell me, don't you? Adam studied her slender silhouette bathed in the warm light. Compared to Carly's entitled arrogance, Celine was so quiet, so composed. Almost obedient. She was smart too. She already knew what he was about to say. His Adam's apple bobbed as he swallowed.
Carly doesn't want me to share a room with you anymore.
Carly didn't want him to share a room with Celine anymore.
Celine froze for a second. It felt like a bee had stung her heart. It was sharp and sudden, followed by a lingering ache that clouded her senses.
Carly's smug voice echoed in her ears.
Celine, I'm just worried that you're flying too close to the sun.
It's time I bring you crashing back down to reality.
Carly did it.
She had succeeded in putting her back in her place.
Celine's delicate face remained expressionless, but it had turned a shade paler.
Her lashes lowered as she whispered, I'll move out tonight.
I'll let Grandma know.
I won't be coming back here anymore.
With that, she turned and started walking toward the door.
Before she could leave, Adam grabbed her wrist.
It's late.
You can leave tomorrow.
Adam added, I'll sleep in the study tonight.
Celine's lips curled into a bitter smile.
So this was all it took.
A single word from Carly, and he had turned into a model of chastity.
She looked up at him.
No need.
I'll leave tonight.
She tried to pull her wrist free from his grip, but his slender, commanding fingers held her firmly, his strength unwavering.
His deep voice carried no room for negotiation.
Tomorrow, you'll report to Urine University.
Celine froze.
What?
I've arranged for you to attend Urine University to study medicine.
Everything has been settled, Adam said.
Her mind went blank for a moment.
He was sending her to Urine University to study medicine?
Did he ever stop to hear the ridiculousness of his own words?
I'm not going.
Celine rejected him outright.
Adam frowned.
Celine, Urine University is one of the top institutions.
Not just anyone can get in.
This is a rare opportunity.
I know you stopped studying at 16, but I'm giving you a chance now.
Didn't you once say you were interested in medicine?
If you work hard, you could shine on your own stage just like Carly.
Celine remained silent.
Of course, he looked down on her.
Guess she had to thank him now.
She swallowed her frustration and agreed.
Fine. I'll go.
Without waiting for his response, she yanked her wrist out of his grip and walked away.
Celine headed to Mary's room.
When she entered, she found Mary sitting at the bedside, threading a needle with her reading glasses on.
Grandma, why are you still up so late? She asked as she approached.
Celine, just in time.
I've finished a little vest for you.
Try it on and see if it fits.
Mary tied up the last thread, held up a yellow knitted vest, and helped Celine slip it over her shoulders.
Oh, it's perfect.
Just the right fit, Alfred said with a chuckle.
From outside the room, Adam arrived just in time to hear the laughter.
He stopped at the doorway, his eyes drawn to the scene inside.
Celine was wearing the vest.
It was a soft, delicate piece in a cheerful shade of yellow that complemented her petite frame.
Her long, silky black hair cascaded down her back, accentuating her delicate beauty.
The knitted vest hugged her slender figure, and her fair complexion glowed under the warm light.
Mary had always had an eye for color.
She had chosen the yellow perfectly.
Grandma, I have plenty of clothes.
You shouldn't strain your eyes making this for me, Celine said.
I figured autumn's around the corner, and the weather will cool down soon.
I don't want you catching a chill.
I want you to stay warm, Mary replied.
Celine's nose tingled, and her chest tightened with emotion.
Alfred chimed in with a laugh.
Mrs. Alvarez, you're quite lucky.
Mrs. Alvarez Sr. hasn't touched knitting needles in years.
Even Mr. Alvarez doesn't have a single piece of clothing she's made herself.
Mary huffed playfully.
Adam has so many people fussing over him.
He'll never go cold.
But Celine is different.
She's always been alone.
Celine had been taking care of herself all along.
Those words pierced Celine's heart, touching the most tender and fragile part of her soul.
She leaned forward and wrapped her arms around Mary.
Tears welled in her eyes as her cheek pressed against Mary's warm shoulder.
Thank you, Grandma. Thank you for your warmth and acceptance. Thank you for bringing me into Alvarez residence. The Alvarez residence had been the warmest place she had ever known. It was her haven, her shelter. However, no matter how much she cherished it, it didn't belong to her. She couldn't hold on to it. She had to leave.
Chapter 111. Honestly, she had already gotten used to it all these years. As she wandered through life, she grew up along the way. However, compared to suffering, warmth brought more tears to her eyes. Mary hugged Celine, patting her back gently like comforting a child.
Silly girl, why are you so formal with me?
Grandma, I want to tell you something.
What is it?
Outside the door, Adam watched as Celine clung to Mary's shoulder. Her lashes fluttered, and silent tears rolled down her cheeks.
Grandma, I can't stay here anymore. I have to leave.
Mary froze in shock.
Why?
Did that rascal Adam bully you again?
I'll teach him a lesson right now.
Alfred immediately handed over a cane.
Madam, use this.
Mary grabbed it.
Celine, you're not going anywhere.
Why should you leave?
I'll make him leave instead.
Adam was speechless. Was he the biological grandson here, or was he adopted?
The same went for Alfred.
It was like he had forgotten who the rightful heir was.
Celine's soft voice sounded as she said, Grandma, you have misunderstood me.
Adam didn't bully me.
He's very nice to me.
Mary didn't believe it.
Really?
Adam watched as Celine raised her small hand to hastily wipe away the tears on her face. Hugging Mary tightly, she spoke with a cheerful tone.
Of course it's true.
Don't worry, I wasn't finished.
Adam is sending me to Urine University. Starting tomorrow, I'll be living on campus, so I won't be able to stay here anymore.
Mary was stunned.
Adam is sending you to Urine University?
That's good.
It's a famous university.
He finally did the right thing for once.
Celine let go of Mary.
Grandma, I'm going tomorrow.
Then I shall go with you.
It's fine.
Why?
Parents usually go to school with their kids on the first day.
You have no parents, but you have me.
I'll be with you.
Celine's reddened eyes glistened with a fresh mist of tears as she chuckled softly.
Grandma, if you send me in a luxury car, it might scare my classmates.
I'd rather keep it low, key and focus on my studies.
Mary wanted to say something, but Celine was afraid that her tears would roll down again. She was scared that she would become greedy and didn't want to leave.
Hence, she could only cut Mary off.
Grandma, you can't distract me from my studies.
I will visit you when I am free.
Mary could only agree.
All right, I'll listen to you.
Grandma, you should rest early, Celine said softly.
Mary obediently lay back down, her expression finally calm.
Celine stepped out, quietly closing the door behind her.
Outside, she found Adam waiting.
Mr. Alvarez, Grandma is settled now.
I'll take my leave, she said steadily.
Adam's gaze lingered on her face.
Her eyes, still glistening from tears, seemed even brighter after the downpour of emotions.
Her pale, delicate skin was tinged with the redness of her flushed cheeks and nose.
Though she stood straight, her slender back exuding a hint of stubborn pride, he couldn't help but feel an ache in his chest.
She looked so heartbreakingly fragile.
Adam said, I'll have the driver send you.
Thank you, but it's fine, Mr. Alvarez.
With that, Celine left without looking back.
Adam watched as the mansion's gate swung open, her slender figure quickly swallowed by the darkness outside. She vanished into the night without a trace.
A heavy, suffocating feeling settled in his chest.
With a sharp tug, he loosened the tie around his neck, as if it might help him breathe easier.
So be it.
He should let her go. After all, she was just a stand-in bride, an unplanned twist in his life. He admitted he'd been momentarily lost, drawn to her in a fleeting haze of desire. But he didn't care for her. The one he liked and wanted was Carly. Chapter 112. Adam didn't like being stuck between two women, he should end things with Celine. Robin heard someone knock on the door. She put on her clothes and opened it. Who is it? It was Celine. She didn't bring anything and only had the gift Mary gave her. She looked at Robin and smiled bitterly. Robin, I have nowhere else to go. Can I stay with you? Robin quickly pulled Celine in. Celine's hands were cold, so Robin rubbed her hands. Celine, what's wrong? Why did you come here in the middle of the night? That's dangerous. Celine curled her lips into a faint smirk. Carly fell down the stairs today, and now Adam's not allowed to share a room with me. So, I got kicked out. Robin froze, her hands trembling before she reached out and pulled Celine into a tight embrace. Damn those two scumbags. Her eyes reddened, and her voice cracked with emotion. How can they keep bullying you like this? The next day, Celine arrived at Urein University to register. Thanks to James' meticulous arrangements, everything went smoothly. She was placed in class 12 of the medical program. She sat on the last row alone. The students beside were friendly as they tried to introduce themselves too. They buzzed with excitement, "Mr. Lambert himself is teaching us today. He's a devoted pioneer of medicine and a true giant in the field. Mr. Lambert rarely teaches anymore, and this class was added last minute. We're so lucky." It was a familiar name. Celine, who hadn't slept well the night before, felt a wave of drowsiness wash over her. She yawned and rested her head on the desk, hoping to catch a quick nap. Moments later, the once noisy classroom fell silent. The students hurried back to their seats. James had arrived. James commanded respect wherever he went, whether in the medical field or at Urein University. His mere presence exuded authority. As he stepped onto the podium, his sharp gaze swept across the room. He was searching for someone. This impromptu class wasn't just a lecture, it was an excuse to meet Celine. Adam, his nephew, had already mentioned the stand-in bride. More intriguingly, even Adam had personally approached James on her behalf. That alone was enough to pique his curiosity. James scanned the room, his tone calm but firm. "Where is the new transfer student, Celine?" The students eagerly pointed in unison. "Mr. Lambert, she's over there." Following their gestures, James's gaze landed on Celine, fast asleep, her head resting on her folded arms. He blinked, momentarily speechless. As Adam's wife and someone James vouched for, James decided to exercise patience. With a sigh, he descended the podium and approached her desk. Standing beside her, he cleared his throat deliberately, the sound loud and purposeful. But Celine, utterly exhausted, had already slipped too deeply into her dreams to notice. James was speechless. He knocked on the table, and it woke Celine up. Celine blinked herself awake, her drowsy eyes lifting to meet the man standing before her. James assessed her closely, but he also saw her doing the same. You're James, she asked, her voice soft but straightforward. James froze for a moment, as everyone had always respected him. It had been years or decades since anyone had addressed him so casually. And yet here she was, uttering his name like they were old acquaintances. Chapter 113. James was standing, and Celine was sitting. Logically speaking, he should have had the upper hand over Celine. But Celine sat up straight, her bright eyes quietly observing James, and that calm air of hers actually overshadowed James. James said, "Yes, yes." No, James was speechless with himself. What was he even saying?
Apart from his most respected Dr. C, nobody dared to address his first name. This substitute bride really had no sense of propriety. James wanted to criticize Celine.
You.
But Celine spoke again. She nodded and said, "All right, you go ahead and teach." James froze.
Wait, who exactly was the professor, and who was the student here?
She actually told him to go teach. But to Celine, James seemed to have no control over his body. He turned to the podium and started teaching.
Wait, why was he acting so obedient?
He really didn't want to.
James started lecturing.
Celine was still tired, obviously because she didn't nap enough, so she slept on the table again. She slept the entire lecture.
James glanced at Celine, who was still sleeping, as he was about to leave.
He really wanted to wake her up and give her a lecture, but he seemed a bit hesitant, almost afraid. In the end, he just left.
At that moment, Melody entered the class, accompanied by two other girls.
Melody, who was studying in the dance department at Urine University, had a dream of one day becoming a lead ballerina like Carly. She greatly admired Carly. Melody was very beautiful, and it was all thanks to her fantastic figure. She was the queen bee at Urine University, often referred to as the goddess among men. She was popular and doing extremely well in her social circles. Hearing that Celine was studying at Urine University, Melody was very angry.
What was Adam thinking?
Why did he send this country bumpkin to Urine University? Did Celine deserve it?
To Melody, Celine's presence pulled down the standards of Urine University.
Melody saw Celine from the window. She was still asleep. The two young ladies beside Melody were her lackeys. They laughed and said, "Melody, I heard that Celine keeps sleeping in classes. Is she a pig or what?"
"Haha, she is indeed a country bumpkin.
She's a joke in Urine University."
Melody's mood brightened, and she took out her phone. She snapped a photo of the sleeping Celine and quickly posted it on the Urine University forum. Her caption was dripping with sarcasm, "Let's welcome the newly transferred Celine Tate." It didn't take long for the comments to roll in.
Student A wrote, "This new student fell asleep during James' class."
Student B replied, "Is she the goddess of sleep?"
Students C and D both agreed with that statement. Seeing Celine being crowned with the title Goddess of Sleep, Melody couldn't help but chuckle with amusement. Just then, her phone rang with a melodious ringtone. It was Carly calling.
Chapter 114.
"Hello, Melody. Today is Celine's first day at Urine University. How is she?" Carly asked.
Melody smirked.
"Carly, why did you waste your time on Celine? She's not even anywhere near your level."
Hear this, Celine had already become popular on her first day.
Carly chuckled.
"Melody, come to the bar tonight. Adam will bring me over for some games tonight, so you can also tell him and Benjamin about the news."
After Celine got enough sleep, the classes ended as well. She went to her dorm. There were two occupants in this room, one was Celine, and the other was Haley Young.
Haley looked at Celine happily.
"You're Celine, right?"
"I'm Haley, we will be roommates from now on."
Haley was happy, go, lucky. She had a huge birthmark on her face, which kind of created a big contrast on her fair cheeks. Noticing Celine looking at her birthmark, Haley wasn't embarrassed at all.
"I was born with this birthmark. The doctors said there's no way to remove it, though. Everyone calls me ugly behind my back, and nobody wants to stay with me."
Then, she shrugged.
"If you don't want to, then."
Celine smiled.
"That's great. I'm a country bumpkin from the countryside. It seems like we are a match made in heaven. We are destined to be roommates."
Celine then reached out to shake Haley's hand. Haley smiled sweetly as she shook her hand.
The two quickly became close. Celine really liked Haley.
Although Haley had a congenital flaw, she wasn't self-conscious about it at all. In fact, she was open and sunny, radiating positivity. At this moment, Haley linked her arm with Celine's and cheerfully said, "Celine, come on, I'm taking you to a bar." "A bar?" Celine hesitated for a moment, but Haley immediately pulled her along. Celine and Haley arrived at Club 1996. Haley confidently waved her hand and told the waiter, "We'll take the most luxurious VIP room here." Celine quickly pulled Haley aside. "Do you even have the money for that?" Haley patted her chest proudly, "I'm the sugar mommy here." Celine was speechless. The waiter smiled apologetically and said, "Sorry, ladies, our most luxurious VIP room is always reserved for Mr. Goodwin. Tonight, Mr. Goodwin is using it to entertain Mr. Alvarez." Club 1996 was a property of the Goodwin family, and Benjamin was the heir. Tonight, he was hosting Adam. Haley raised an eyebrow. "Mr. Alvarez is here." "Yes, tonight Mr. Alvarez is here with his girlfriend, Carly, to play cards. Mr. Goodwin and a few other rich heirs are accompanying them. That room is Mr. Alvarez's private VIP suite." Celine's heart missed a beat. She didn't expect Adam to bring Carly there to play cards. What a coincidence. She looked up and saw the most luxurious VIP room at the far end. That was Adam's suite. Haley tugged at her, "Celine, let's go take a look." She pulled Celine to the door of the luxurious VIP room. Celine peeked inside. It was lively and full of people playing cards. At the main seat, she saw Adam. Adam looked like the perfect gentleman in a white shirt and black trousers. The top two buttons of his shirt were casually undone, revealing his sculpted collarbones. He sat at the head of the table, holding his cards, exuding an air of effortless charm with just the right amount of relaxed laziness. He looked incredibly handsome. Beside him sat Carly, dressed in a strapless floral dress with large, blooming roses on it. She looked stunning. Her beauty was complemented by Adam's, forming a picture, perfect couple that was hard to ignore. Benjamin and two other young men were also at the card table, laughing and enjoying the game. Benjamin, who was in a great mood, said with a smile, "Adam, you're going to lose again. You've already lost a lot of money tonight." Chapter 115. Tonight, Adam had been losing non-stop, luck wasn't on his side, and the cold lines on his handsome face made it clear he wasn't pleased. Carly, who was seated beside him, was studying her cards. Beside her lay a fruit platter filled with fresh seasonal fruits. She reached out with her delicate hand, picked a plump purple grape, and peeled off its skin. Then, she held the glistening, juicy flesh to Adam's lips. Without taking his eyes off his cards, Adam opened his mouth and ate the grape Carly offered. She nestled closer to him, her movements soft and graceful, catching the seed he spat out in her palm without hesitation. Carly resembled a perfect wife, attending to Adam's every need. One of the young heirs at the table laughed. Only Mr. Alvarez could have Mercedes number one beauty catering to him like this. The other chimed in, "They say fortune in love means misfortune in gambling. No wonder Mr. Alvarez has been losing all night." Carly gave a playful pout, her lips curving into a coy smile. "All you do is tease me." Outside the door, Celine watched the scene unfold. It was the first time she had seen Adam bring Carly to socialize and play cards with his friends. A pang of bitterness surged in her chest. Adam lost again. He threw his cards onto the table, his movements brusque, and shoved the pile of chips in front of him toward the center. "Split them among yourselves." Benjamin and the two other men grinned happily. Benjamin said, "Thanks for your generosity, Adam." The other rich heir joked, "Mr. Alvarez is throwing money tonight." Adam remained emotionless. He leaned his broad back lazily against the chair, exuding a sense of detached boredom and lack of interest.
Carly looked at him lovingly.
Adam, are you tired?
I think he's losing interest.
Carly, do you want to help with that?
The rich heirs started to make a commotion.
Carly smirked as she poured alcohol into the glass.
Adam, want some drink?
He just looked at her without saying a word.
Carly, who was basking in the attention of the room, boldly climbed onto his lap. She shifted her position slightly higher, leaning forward with her hands braced on the back of his chair while effectively pinning him in place.
Adam, who had been reclining lazily, now showed a flicker of interest. He raised an amused eyebrow.
Carly smirked teasingly as she gently bit the rim of a wine glass. Tilting the glass, she let the red liquid flow.
Adam chuckled softly.
He parted his lips, allowing the wine to flow into his mouth.
Wow!
Benjamin was the first to stir the commotion, and the other wealthy heirs chimed in as well.
Carly really knows how to feed Mr. Alvarez wine, doesn't she?
Look, Mr. Alvarez actually smiled.
No wonder Carly continues to hold his favor so effortlessly.
The luxurious private room buzzed with excitement.
Celine stood silently outside.
Amidst the teasing and laughter, Carly's cheeks flushed as she gracefully slid off Adam's lap, returning to her seat by his side.
Adam didn't say much, but his left arm extended casually, resting on the back of Carly's chair as if pulling her into his embrace.
The others continued their teasing, while Carly playfully scolded them to stop.
Adain watched with a doting smile.
Celine had to admit that Carly was indeed clever. She fully understood that a man like Adam, revered and served wherever he went, needed someone to flatter him.
Carly knew how to handle the atmosphere perfectly.
Celine decided she didn't want to watch anymore. She didn't enjoy torturing herself.
That was Adam and Carly's world, which she couldn't enter.
Haley, let's go.
Celine, wait a minute.
Look, Melody is here too, Haley said.
Celine noticed Melody, who had been sitting on the couch all along, joining in the teasing with delight.
Melody chuckled and said, Adam, Carly, since everyone's in such a good mood, let me tell you a joke.
Carly's face lit up with curiosity.
What kind of joke?
Melody smirked.
It's about Celine.
Chapter 116.
Celine was speechless.
Was it a good idea to bring up her name when Adam and Carly were having so much fun?
She was just thinking that she didn't belong to their world, but now, someone decided to pull her in.
Melody said, today is her first day at Urine University, but she has already become famous.
Benjamin looked judgmental.
Her?
Famous.
Melody replied, yeah.
She became the goddess of sleep on campus.
She slept the entire day.
Benjamin laughed.
When Adam decided to enroll her into Urine University, I couldn't get it.
Now I finally know why.
Adam wants her to be our daily joke.
Everyone was laughing at Celine, and Carly was the one laughing happiest.
Celine was speechless outside the door.
Whatever.
Inside the luxurious room, Adam didn't laugh or smile.
Carly made him feel a little just now, but when they joked about Celine, his face turned cold.
He also pulled his hands away from Carly's back.
At this moment, it was like he sensed something.
He turned to look at the door.
Yet, it was empty.
Celine had already left with Haley.
Adam stood up and walked over.
Carly was stunned.
Adam, where are you going?
To the restroom, he replied coldly.
Adam entered a luxurious lounge and took out his phone, dialing a number.
When the call connected, James's voice came through.
Hey, Adam.
Standing by the floor, to ceiling window, Adam pressed his lips into a line and asked, James, how did Celine do on her first day at school?
He went straight to the point.
James responded bluntly, not great.
She spent the whole day sleeping.
Adam's sharp eyebrows furrowed instantly.
I sent her there to study, not sleep.
Why didn't you discipline her?
James thought back to Celine's casual remarks.
You're James.
All right, you go teach the class.
He silently retorted, why don't you handle her yourself?
Adam's face darkened.
She's your student.
You're the one responsible for her.
James countered, and she's your wife.
That makes her your responsibility.
Adam was speechless, and he hung up angrily.
James was in his study, immersed in academic research, when the beeping sound of the disconnected call reached his ears.
He was speechless.
Unbelievable.
How can both husband and wife be so brazenly disrespectful?
He thought about Celine again.
Right, why should he be afraid of her?
He was her professor.
Tomorrow, he would make sure to put her in her place.
At that moment, James's WhatsApp chimed with a new message.
James opened it eagerly and saw a message from the esteemed Dr. C. Attached was the surgery plan he had submitted yesterday, now meticulously reviewed with detailed red, ink annotations.
James's eyes lit up with excitement.
He couldn't help but exclaim, amazing indeed.
With the utmost respect, James recorded a voice message and sent it.
Thank you.
Chapter 117. Celine had already pulled Haley away to the women's restroom. When she heard James' voice note, she replied by writing, all the best, James. In the study, James found the way Dr. Cad rest him surprisingly endearing. He sent another voice message with a faint smile, got it, I'll keep working hard. Meanwhile, Celine slipped her phone back into her bag as Haley tugged on her arm.
Celine, let's head out.
Just as they were about to leave, the restroom door swung open, and two figures stepped inside. They were Carly and Melody. The four of them came face to face. Carly's lips curved into a smug smile immediately.
Celine, what are you doing here?
I heard Adam kicked you out of Alvarez residence, and now you're staying in the dorms at Vorine University. Still reveling in her dramatic triumph after falling down the stairs, Carly couldn't wait to flaunt her victory to Celine, whom she viewed as a loser.
Celine raised an elegant brow, unfazed by Carly's provocation.
Instead, she smiled and shot back, Carly, it's the first time I've seen someone so thrilled to be a rebound.
What?
Rebound?
Carly was stunned.
Celine smiled and continued, am I wrong?
I slept in that bed, and Adam is the second, hand item I used before.
You keep trying to become the rebound here.
Well, how so very unhygienic of you.
Carly was speechless.
Adam was used by Celine?
Also, why was unhygienic?
Carly's face turned dark.
Haley laughed.
Celine, is this the mistress, Carly?
Carly was triggered by the word.
She glared at Haley and asked, who the hell are you?
Then, Carly saw the birthmark on Haley's right cheek.
She immediately laughed.
How can one be so ugly?
Melody hooked her arms around Carly.
Carly, you don't know yet, do you?
This is Celine's roommate, also her new best friend, Haley.
She is known as Ugly Haley.
On campus.
Melody then covered her mouth as she giggled.
Carly, don't you think Ugly Haley and the Country Bumpkin sounds good?
Carly nodded.
Yes.
Nobody wants to be friends with them, so they only have each other.
The two of them looked down on Celine and Haley.
Celine and Haley weren't mad.
Haley, let's go.
Someone has bad breath, and I can't stand it any longer.
Celine, let's go.
With that, Celine and Haley left.
Carly's smile faded as she turned to Melody.
Melody, you're on University's campus bell.
It's your territory.
You need to do something about Celine and Haley.
Get them kicked out of the university if you can.
Melody, brimming with confidence, responded, no problem.
Leave it to me.
Pleased with the answer, Carly stood in front of the vanity mirror to apply makeup.
Then, she suddenly remembered something important.
Melody,
have you found out who James' daughter, Allie, is yet? James, having a daughter in his later years, treasured her immensely. She was the youngest child of the Lambert family, the family's princess from the moment she was born. Her nickname was Allie. She was also Adam's cousin. Adam adored her as well. Chapter 118. The Lambert family had a deep, rooted lineage, a prestigious heritage intertwined with ties to the capital. Their status as an elite family made them a pillar of influence and power. Carly had been determined to uncover Ally's identity, but the Lambert and Alvarez families had taken extraordinary measures to shield her from public scrutiny. Despite Carly's efforts, Ally stayed hidden. Melody found it weird as well. Carly, one heard that Ally is in Irvine University too. I investigated everyone with the last name Lambert but still couldn't find her. Carly said, Melody, Mary doesn't accept me, so I need support from the Lambert family. Ally is very important to me. As long as I can get close to her and curry favor with her, then I can marry Adam and become Mrs. Alvarez. Carly was good at playing this game. Benjamin, Melody, and the other rich heirs in Adam's friend group liked her a lot. Hence, she had to make sure Ally became her friend. Ally represented the support from the Lambert family. It was Adam's mother's side, which was very important. Melody nodded. Carly, I will continue looking. I am also quite curious who Ally is. Carly couldn't find Adam in the luxurious private room, he didn't return after leaving. She then went to the lounge and saw him sitting on the couch. Adam drank quite some wine, and he seemed to be in a bad mood. His phone was on the coffee table, and he was leaning against the back of the couch with his legs extended in front of him, resting on top of the coffee table. He sat there with his eyes closed. His right hand, which was adorned with an exquisite luxury watch, was gently massaging his tired brow. Even after all this time, Carly still found herself utterly captivated by Adam, her heart racing uncontrollably for him. Love between a man and a woman often began with admiration. Adam, born as the golden child of wealth, power, and status, exuded an effortless air of dominance even as he leaned back casually. It was this commanding presence that Carly both envied and revered. Stepping lightly, Carly approached him from behind. With her slender fingers, she began to gently massage his temples. Her touch was neither too firm nor too light, just right to ease the tension. Adam withdrew his hand as the furrow in his brow slowly relaxed. Carly teased with a soft laugh, Mr. Alvarez, you won't even open your eyes to look at me. Are you this easy to please, letting just any girl massage you? A smirk played on Adam's thin lips as he reached up and grasped her delicate wrist. With a gentle tug, Carly found herself tumbling onto his firm lap. Adam lazily opened his eyes, his gaze locking onto her face, and which girl, besides you, would dare? At his age, Adam had mastered the art of sensuality. When he chose to flirt, his casual yet teasing demeanor carried a wicked charm and an undeniable magnetism, leaving anyone breathless. Carly chuckled it as she hooked her arms around Adam's neck. Why didn't you go back to the room?
Why?
Because of Celine. Thinking of Celine, Adam's handsome face showed signs of frustration and exhaustion. Adam, I met Celine in the washroom. Guess what she said? After she went to Urine University, the two of them lost contact. Adam, with an indifferent expression, casually asked, what? She said you're her used second hand product and also said you're not clean. Carly was still angry thinking about it. Adam was speechless. He clicked his tongue against the back of his teeth and sneered. She really dared to say that? He could almost picture her sharp, tongued expression in his mind. Carly touched his handsome face. With his top, notch looks and perfect physique, she couldn't resist his appeal. Her heart fluttered as she gazed at Lum, then playfully commanded, Adam, kiss me. Chapter 119. Carly asked Adam to kiss her.
Adam gazed at Carly's face, as vibrant and alluring as a red rose, far different from that small face with her cold beauty. Carly's charm and warmth stood in stark contrast to Celine's knack for getting under his skin, leaving him irritable and restless. Carly was like a soothing flower of understanding, always knowing how to ease his mood. Slowly, Adam leaned down. Celine and Haley drank some wine and had some fun before coming out. They went to the streets to hail a cab. But this was a busy street, and there were fewer cabs there. Celine came up with an idea. Haley, how about we rent some bikes to ride back? Haley raised an eyebrow. No need, Celine. I'll just call my cousin and have him send a car over.
Cousin? You have a cousin?
Haley winked mischievously.
Of course.
Let's not trouble him.
It's already late, Celine replied, trying to dissuade her. But Haley had already taken out her phone and was dialing.
My cousin is out there living it up with his mistress. I should give him something proper to do.
Celine was stunned.
Your cousin has a mistress?
Yeah.
He's married but doesn't like his wife, so he's found himself a mistress outside.
He's a total scumbag.
Celine didn't know that Haley had such a cousin. However, this wife's situation felt eerily similar to her own. Truly, they were both wandering souls cast adrift by fate. In the luxurious lounge, Adam leaned closer to Carly, their faces mere inches apart as they were about to kiss. Carly caught the faint, intoxicating scent of alcohol mixed with his cool fragrance. The allure of his presence left her utterly weakened. Her delicate hands clung tightly around his neck as she waited for his lips to descend upon hers. But instead of a kiss, she was met with Adam's deep, magnetic voice.
Your lipstick is smudged.
What? Carly's eyes flew open in surprise. At this moment, Adam's phone rang. The ringtone ruined their flirtatious moment, and Adam pushed her away. Carly stood up and took a mirror from her Chanel bag. When she touched up her lipstick in the toilet just now, she accidentally smudged a little at the corner of her lips. She felt frustrated and took out a tissue to wipe it. Adam had already stood by the window at this time, and he answered the call.
Allie.
Allie. Carly was surprised that his cousin had called. She seemed to have said something, and Adam nodded.
All right, I'll send a driver over.
Adam hung up the phone, and at that moment, he felt a tight embrace around his strong waist. Carly had hugged him from behind. Her delicate hands wandered over his firm muscles, clearly wanting to continue. However, Adam removed her restless hands. Turning to look at her, he said, "Another time. I need to head back to the office. I'll have someone take you home." Carly's face turned pale. To say she wasn't disappointed would be a lie, but Adam's handsome face had already shown no trace of interest anymore. Carly blamed herself a bit for smearing her lipstick. She knew that men like Adam were very particular about women. If there was anything on them that displeased him, he'd lose interest immediately. Last time at Westwood Villa, even though he was aroused, he still refused to do it with her. It seemed like his body had lost its enthusiasm for her. This was a danger signal. Chapter 120. Adam walked out and asked Leo to arrange a driver for Allie. It seemed like he really doted on Allie a lot. With just a call, he immediately helped her. Carly wanted to know who Allie was, and she must become her best friend. Celine and Haley were still standing on the street when a Rolls Royce pulled up before them. The driver respectfully opened the back door, and both Celine and Haley got in. Celine was stunned.
Haley, is your cousin really that rich?
Rolls Royce. Adam's private car was also this brand. Was this brand really so popular with scumbags?
Haley smiled.
Yeah, he's quite rich.
Celine, let me introduce you to my cousin.
You can be my sister-in-law.
What?
Celine quickly declined.
Thank you, but I think I'll pass. I don't think I'm worthy.
Haley grinned and thought, but Celine, you're already my sister, in law.
My cousin is Adam.
The next day, at Urine University, Celine and Haley were heading back to the dorm when suddenly someone approached them.
You're the goddess of sleep, Celine.
Celine looked up, and it was Elijah Zander.
Elijah, accompanied by a group of followers, blocked Celine's path.
He leered at her.
I didn't expect the goddess of sleep to be such a beauty.
Haley quickly whispered, this is Elijah, the heir of the Zander family.
The Zander family is quite influential in Mercy, so Elijah has always been a bully at Urine University.
He's a notorious troublemaker here.
Celine shot Elijah a cold look.
I don't know you. She was about to leave with Haley when Elijah blocked her path again.
Don't rush off, beautiful.
First time's a stranger, second time's familiar.
Upon closer inspection, Elijah found Celine extremely beautiful, like an angel.
When Melody asked him to create trouble and kick Celine out of the university, she didn't tell him that Celine was so pretty.
I think I might have fallen for you, beautiful.
What about this?
Be my girlfriend, and you'll get to enjoy life with me.
With that, Elijah reached out to touch Celine's face.
Celine dodged him and said, piss off.
She grabbed Haley and tried to walk away.
But they couldn't go any further.
Elijah's followers surrounded them completely.
Haley looked at Elijah angrily.
Elijah, don't go too far.
Go too far?
Ha!
What are you going to do about it?
Elijah laughed arrogantly.
Celine, stop pretending.
You're just a country bumpkin, a slacker who sleeps through classes.
It's your luck that I even noticed you.
He then turned his gaze to Haley, shamelessly taunting, hey guys, Celine here is mine.
How about you take ugly Haley?
She's so ugly that no man would want her.
You can have her as a freebie, a virgin at that.
His followers burst into crude laughter, leering at Celine and Haley.
Haley, who was normally so sweet, tempered, was trembling with rage.
You.
She tried to step forward, but Celine quickly shielded her, stepping in front of her.
At that moment, Elijah waved his hand.
Take them down.